I shouldn't be allowed to have it.
You can't use it on a grader.
It works.
We're gonna call together the Wednesday, June 10th, 2020, regular city council meeting at 5:30. As we, with a call to order, we're gonna establish a quorum. We have Mike Shields, we have Colleen Scott, Connie Breeze is telephonically, Don Greiner is here, Max Miller, myself, Daniel Richard, we have a quorum. We please stand for a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. So, the first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna discuss our consent agenda, which includes the May 27th, 2020 regular city council minutes, the March 18th, 2020 planning commission minutes, and the May 27th, 2020 budget committee minutes. Do we have a motion to approve these?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, so the consent agenda passes. We're gonna open up a budget hearing, public hearing right now for the fiscal year of 2020-21, the yearly budget. So the public hearing is now open. Do we have a staff report or comments?
Just that this is the final hearing where you will approve the 2021 budget and then also a resolution for state revenues, receiving state revenues. You have had two budget meetings open to the public. You've taken comments and this is the final step. So, if there's questions.
Thank you so much. Do we have any public comments on our budget hearing? Thank you so much. Then we're going to close the public hearing and we're going to have council deliberations. Connie Breeze, do you have any comments?
I just said, and the considerations they made.
Thank you so much, Connie. Colleen Scott, do we have any comments?
I would just like to thank city staff for
doing. Mike Shields?
No comments.
Don Greiner?
We've gone through this several times. I'm happy with the budget.
Max Miller?
No comments.
All right, and myself, I'm very happy with it. I would just like to thank the staff for their conservative view for the benefit of our community. All right, so then that's that. We're gonna move on to resolution number 2020-06, a resolution declaring the city's election to receive state revenues.
Can you actually vote on the budget, please?
Perfect. All right, so then we'll do a roll call vote on the budget. Connie Breeze? Colleen Scott?
Aye.
Mike Shields?
Aye.
Don Greiner?
Aye.
Max Miller?
Aye.
And so we have four ayes and no nays. The budget passes. So then let's move on to resolution number 2020-06, a resolution declaring the city's election to receive state revenues. Is there a staff report on this?
Just to say that this is the a required document we need to turn into the state that tells them we are electing to receive our state revenues.
we have any comments on this? Colleen Scott?
No comments.
Mike Shields?
No, I have no comment.
Connie Trees?
No comment.
Don Greiner?
No comment.
Okay, so then we'll take a roll call vote on this resolution, or do we have a motion that's prepared for this?
I move that we declare a resolution to receive state revenue.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a first and a second to, on the resolution to receive state revenues. All those in, oh, we need a roll call again. Connie Breeze?
Aye.
Mike Shields?
Aye.
Colleen Scott?
Aye.
Don Greiner?
Aye.
Okay, we have four ayes and no nays. Resolution 2020-06 passes. Our next item is a city ordinance number 2020-07. This is the resolution adopting the fiscal year 2021 fiscal year budget and appropriating funds for the city of Lapine. Do we have a staff report on this?
Yeah, this is, it's the formal resolution adopting the budget and then also spending money and then also categorizing and taking our 1.98% tax, property tax.
Okay. Do we have any deliberations on this? Colleen?
No.
Mike?
No, I don't.
Connie?
No.
Don Greiner?
None.
Okay, so then we'll take a roll call vote on resolution 2020-07. Do we have like a formal motion on this?
I move that we adopt resolution number 2020-07, a resolution adopting the fiscal year 2020-21 fiscal year budget and appropriate the funds for the city of Lapine.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All right, so we have a first and second. We'll do a roll call vote again. Don Greiner?
Aye.
Connie Breeze?
Aye.
Mike Shields?
Aye.
Colleen Scott?
Aye.
All right, so we have four ayes and no nays. Resolution 2020-07 passes. I think our next thing is item number 9, which is assignment of the Wilderness Garbage franchise. Is there a staff report on this?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Actually, what we're doing is we left this on just as a placeholder. We did not get the amended franchise ordinance in time. We do have it. You'll all be getting it tomorrow. So what staff would propose is that you continue this, or we take this matter up at a special meeting next week. We know that Wilderness is under a time crunch, and so we want to get this taken care of, and then at the meeting next week you will have an amended ordinance and be able to vote and take action.
Okay, is there anybody else that wanted to speak on this, or no? Mike?
No, I'm good.
Connie, you're good with putting this aside?
Yes.
Don?
I have plenty to say, but I'll ready wait till next week.
All right, so then we're going to set aside the Wilderness Garbage franchise action item until our next meeting.
And Mr. Mayor, if I could, is I know it's the middle of the night for Connie, so I'm wondering if a 10 a.m. meeting works good for a quick, or well, may not be quick, but a meeting on Wednesday? Or would you rather keep it at night?
Is that good for you, Colleen? 10 a.m. Mike?
I'll make it work.
Don Greiner?
10 a.m. on Wednesday.
And Connie, 10 a.m. works for you?
Is that not better?
All right, so then we'll do 10 a.m. on what day?
Wednesday, the 17th, I believe.
On next Wednesday, Connie. All right. So then we'll move past that. Our next thing is the approval of the purchase for plexiglass, safety plexiglass partitions for the administration desks. Is there a staff report on this?
There is. So in returning to opening our city hall with COVID and concern and safety for our employees, we are proposing to the council or asking the council to approve purchasing plexiglass windows for the front admin offices to just further help protect them from the customers and the citizens that come in, both for them and our employees. You have a picture on your dais of what it would look like. You have the amount.
And we're getting to it?
Yes.
Okay. Colleen, do you have any?
Is the lobby formally open or are we waiting until these are installed?
We kind of did a soft opening last week. We unlocked the doors because the girls are having to get up and go to the doors so much that we opened it. So we are open. We haven't like put it out on our Facebook page or website that says, yes, we're open that I know of. It's just kind of, we unlocked the doors.
And when will these be installed?
Well, as soon as we can order them and get them. I don't think they need installing. I think we just set them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike Shields?
Well, as a personal note, I'm...
Don Greiner?
I think $660 to 680 days is a pretty healthy price for a couple pieces of plastic, but if we have to have it, we have to have it.
That was my comment. Connie Breeze? Yes, I believe it's important. My thing was just to have we source the least amount, you know, the least damaging cost. $600 just sounds like it's a lot. All right, so do we have a motion to approve or disapprove this?
I'd like to ask you a question. Is that each or total?
Ms. Kelly did all the research, so I took what she gave me and ran with it, so I'm not sure if that's each or total. I will before we order.
I think it says in here whether that's each or...
Range from around $660 to $680.
Yeah, she was pricing them, so this seemed the most flexible so that if we ever, you know, if we need to change office space or we need to move it, we can take it down without construction. You know, it just goes up and sits and...
And there are openings.
Yeah, we can size them.
Different sizes.
Yeah.
Okay. Connie Breeze, do you have any questions?
I have no further questions.
Right, so I guess Donna can't answer you adequately because I didn't do the research on this. Do we have a motion on this with your unanswered question?
I will send out a total before we order to the council.
We approve the purchase of a glass window for the front office in order to ensure the safety of our employees and residences.
Okay, do we have a second?
All second.
All right, thank you, Connie. And so we have a first and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? All right, looks like we'll protect our employees. The next item is on the agenda is the approval of salary classification and compensation analysis. Can you tell us a little bit about this, Melissa?
Sure, so this was budgeted last year. As you know, historically, Lapine really hasn't had a salary schedule or ladder, for lack of a better term, for employees. Really didn't have any kind of wage specific categories for employees. It was kind of just ask around or get what other cities were doing and then just kind of go from there. There was no raise factor. Employees didn't know where they were going, how much they would make, what was market rate. And so we contracted with McGrath. They come highly recommended from many other cities. and they finished their report. I put it in your packet, and they also created the salary market rate schedule for our employees. It's my intention, if council agrees and approves, to, as of July 1st, place all the employees in this salary schedule. To be honest, raises will be minimal this year. They're not going to be very much. I think utility one workers actually see the highest raise. They were very undervalued as employees in their salary, and so they will get the largest bump. But the goal is just to get the employees on this salary schedule, and then the intention is if work is being performed at an adequate level, then they automatically move up the ladder until they get into a market range. Every 5 years, we will readjust this schedule by 3 to 5%, depending on what market shows, and so to keep it active. That is all I have, unless you have any questions. Oh, and you'll also notice there are other, positions listed on there. We were able to kind of put in some other positions that might be needed in the future, and we were able to get those actually job descriptions and those positions on the schedule too if they're needed in the future.
Job descriptions, these additional job descriptions, do these fit the needs of our public works also, or are these only?
No, it was for every employee. Sorry.
For all of our positions?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, which is going to be very helpful when, you know, for instance, when we go out for jobs, we have an actual job description that was created that is good to go. We're not trying to piecemeal and put together job descriptions from other cities, so.
Okay. All right, so do we have a motion to approve the salary classification and compensation analysis?
Salary classification and compensation analysis.
Or maybe were there any questions about this? Did you have any questions?
None for me.
Mike?
I don't have any questions. I like the study. I like the way they did it.
Do you have any questions about the analysis?
No question that we can hopefully reduce the turnover we've had at the city and with our employees and give them some direction as where they can go in the future with the city.
Thank you so much. Don Greiner?
I read everything very carefully, and I had a little problem with understanding how this thing worked. I came down and got an explanation on it. I think it's an excellent way our employees know where they stand, and they know that as they progress.
The employees can know where they stand.
Right.
All right, so now let's move to this. So, Colleen, you made a formal motion to accept the analysis.
Yes.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All right, we have a first and a second.
Can I clarify, the motion includes placing the employees on the salary schedule as of July 1st?
So the motion was moved that the city council approve the classification and compensation structure of employees to be placed on the salary schedule starting July 1st. Correct. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, so then we have a schedule for employees. All right, one of our next agenda items, number 12, is a approval of the social media archiving contract. I didn't know that we had a social media archiving contract, but can we get a staff report on this?
Yes, so we actually don't have one, and this is something we were looking into last year. We budgeted for it this year, so it would take effect, July. We're just bringing it to you early. We actually had an opportunity to get a free month, but I couldn't get to council soon enough, so we lost that opportunity. So I couldn't, because I didn't want to actually purchase this without council's consent. So this is a social media archiving. It's required. It's basically the same thing we do for all our documents in-house, but they capture and archive our social media sites, our website, and our Facebook page, and if we ever go to Twitter or anything else, that kind of stuff, I would assume. And so it's very important. It's something we haven't had. It's something we need legally, basically.
Okay. Any questions about this? Connie?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Colleen?
No questions.
Mike?
What does it cost?
$47.88
a year. Yeah. Each year.
Yep.
John
Greiner? It seems like another thing that the state put on us, so I guess we don't have much choice but to go
by the rules. All right. So do we have a motion, a formal motion to accept this?
I move the city council approve using Acti Social Media or Acti Social to provide media archiving services for the city at a cost of $4,788 a year.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All right, we have a first and a second that we will take and utilize Archive Social to provide social media archiving for the city. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
I just want to thank Robin, who did all the research and put that together for you.
Thank you so much, Robin.
Welcome.
All right, so our next thing is number 13. This is the formation of a committee to review the council rules and procedures to bring them into currency. The last time that this was done under Ken Mullinex in 2011. And so because of the situation, just times change and things change, I decided that I would take and try and see if these need to be updated. I had spoken with, you know, before I had spoken with Mayor Dennis and Stu and people, you know, before I became mayor, and they had all said that it needed to be done, but it never got around to being done, so we didn't have the time. So at some point or another, I'd like to form a committee to take and review and suggest changes to the council rules and procedures. I have taken and I've talked to multiple citizens and have chosen, you'll find in your packet, six citizens and myself for this committee. There are three women, there are three men, there are four elders, and there are two middle-aged individuals. There are four people that live in our city, two people that live just barely outside our city. Nobody on the committee has any vested interest in an organization or business or executive director or anything like that. The citizens volunteered solely for the benefit of our community. You can see their applications in there. The only person that I'm possibly, well, there's probably two people that the people could possibly be familiar with. One of the citizens is Dennis Scott. He was our old mayor. And the other citizen is Terry Myers. She works in our visitor center. Other than that, they're just average Joes from our community. Is there any questions about this situation, Colleen?
No, no questions. I think it's a good idea.
Shields?
No, I don't think I have any questions.
Don Greiner?
I think the thing too, we should call the names of all of them that are on the committee.
Oh, certainly.
And if you wouldn't mind doing that.
Certainly, excuse me. We have Dennis Scott. We have Larry Baker. We have Terry Myers. We have Sue Rhodes. We have Brian Schmidt. We have, one second.
Sharon Reeder.
Sharon Reeder, that's the sixth person. We have two veterans and four civilians, because we have a veteran following this. I tried to pick a very diverse amount of people, because I think everybody has an opinion about the town council and the procedures they use to make decisions and conduct business. Connie Breeze, do you have any comments about this?
Isn't having any council members on it as well?
I have voiced that, and after speaking with Jeremy about this, he advised me that it could happen either way, but generally council people don't make their own rules. So that was one of the things that he said. It could be either way. He didn't care. So I just went with the way that it was. Do you have a preference?
I just isn't, and if the city's involved, then there is one, because I think it helps speak to procedure.
Yes, I fully agree with being able to describe to individuals how we do things and why we do things. And that's where I felt that Dennis Scott, the old mayor, could interpret this very easily, as well as myself. Does anybody else here feel that we need a council person to attend this committee?
One thing I think, and we talked about this once before, is we want to make sure that somebody that has the history of the city, how it was formed, how the rules were made up before, and why a certain rule was put in, should be able to kind of look it over and advise the committee and say, this is why we put it in. If you feel that it's not right now, we can take it out, but you at least have the reason why it was done.
Right. Well, you would be the most elder person in this position, Don. Do you volunteer yourself to be on this committee also?
Why don't you just let me review it page at a time?
Perfect. Is there any problems with that, Connie? Do you agree with allowing Don to review all this before any changes were made?
I'm fine with that.
All right, and Colleen and Mike, you're good with that?
I think it's a good idea.
I'm good with that.
Yep. So then, with the assumption that after if any changes are made, all changes and the council rules will be reviewed by Don Greiner, then. After that review, then the council can vote on this.
Mr. Mayor, I think the committee should be advised what I say, and then if they don't like what I say, they should either accept what they have and leave it there, or make a change, or somewhere in between. I don't think I should be a dictator as to what should be in or not in them.
Right, I would agree with that, Don, but there's no committee members here, so I'll have to inform them of that.
Now, that's fine with me. Mm-hmm. It's up to you.
Yeah, I just want this to be fair for everybody. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah, you're the chairman.
All right. So then, do we need a formal motion to take in? I guess we do. Do we have a motion to approve the creation of this committee?
Committee to review the council rules and procedures headed by our mayor.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
So then a motion has formally been made to create a committee to be made up with six citizens, the mayor, to discuss and recommend the city council changes and revisions to the council rules and procedures, policy changes and recommendations for revisions will include clarification by Don Greiner of the rules, and then they will be reviewed by the committee one more time. The committee will meet once a month at City Hall at a time that's determined by the committee. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, so then it sounds like we'll give it a try to bring our council rules into currency. I just think it's a good thing every few years, you know, to take and just look and see if anything needs to be updated. Right, our next thing are other matters. And I had spoken with Jeremy, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, and he said that it probably would be a good thing to place this, the matter in contention at the town council meeting. So we're going to speak about this. Jeremy, did you want to take in, have a comment here? Do you want me to take and express this?
Sure, either way.
Okay, so the matter at hand is that the Chamber of Commerce looking for a place to take and hold the chamber breakfast, which had not been held for a few months because of the COVID thing, had approached Frontier Days to take and utilize their property. And for whatever reason, Frontier Days did not mention to the chamber that the use of the property was in contention by an earlier ruling from the council about activities happening on Frontier Days property until they had finalized their conditional use permit. And I think that that entailed a few things like delineation of the wetlands and a few other things. But so I guess we're going to speak about this right now. Is there somebody from the chamber that would like to open this up, or from that wants to start this conversation? Yeah. There's a little button on your thing as it pushed.
There we go. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you so much.
Speaking, introduce themselves.
Yes, sorry, I mean, Jeremy Johnson, Chamber President. In the interest of getting our chamber breakfast up and running and getting the business community back and rolling and help out those, especially those that have been suffering as a result of this COVID, we were anxious to get the breakfast going on account of the senior center being closed, and understandably why I asked if we could hold this at the Frontier Days property, and that seemed okay. Apparently there's some question as to whether or not that can be done, so that's why I thought we should bring it before the council. We didn't really see any reason why it couldn't be on an outdoor venue with people less than 100. It does fall in line with the city ordinances, so there's really nothing that I could see where we would have a problem with that. However, Dan informed me that there may be some other issues there that I wasn't aware of. So I suggested, how about we all talk about it? Maybe Dan, you could bring your side of it, and then also Ann is here as well with some information about Frontier Days and where they're at in that delineation process. And if there's any questions as to that, she could speak to that better than I could, because I'm not involved in Frontier Days at all. So with that, would you like me to turn this over to Ann, Dan, or do you want to speak to them?
Should I clarify the situation, Ann, or do you know what's going on? Would you like to have a say?
I certainly would, yeah.
Okay.
I took the time to do a prepared statement, so I wouldn't ramble too drastically.
Thank you.
I guess you can't.
Okay, this is Ann Gay with the president of Lapine Frontier Days, and I'm just going to read this as you're all reading along as a letter to the City Council. At the February 12, 2020 City Council meeting, the Council approved an extension of the Lapine Frontier Days conditional use permit application due to delays in the wetlands delineation. It was allowed that the 4th of July Frontier Days event could apply for an event permit. There was very little discussion around other events, with the exception of my mentioning that we had high expectations that the wetlands delineation would be completed and gone through the state review process well before October for the wall and the powwow, and thus should not be an issue. So here we are in front of the council again, because we are the host for the long anticipated first chamber breakfast since lockdown, and it's not entirely clear why, other than the fact that Frontier Days is in the beginning phases of the application process. We should be no different from any other private property owner, and we would be well within our rights as per city ordinance to host an event of less than 100 people without needing a permit. When the chamber asked us, Terry Myers asked Frontier Days to use the land, Frontier Days was certainly not trying to circumvent any rules or regulations. In fact, the event was conceived with only the best of intentions to finally be able to bring the business community together again, to network, to reconnect, to try to achieve some sort of back to normal. News of the breakfast was received with enthusiasm. Our business community has been severely impacted economically for the most part. This kind of gathering is just what people were needing after this unprecedented self-confinement due to the COVID pandemic. The breakfast has been designed to adhere to best practices for physical distancing, etc. It was not going to be a sit-down type of affair, but a walkabout morning of conversation and reconnecting. As other logical venues were not open yet due to the virus, the Frontier Days land seemed a logical, safe, and convenient choice. If somehow we did not interpret the city ordinance for events properly, we apologize. What we read is very clear and detailed, and we felt we were acting within the guidelines for an event. The spirit of the council's intention is ethereal, so the extent of where this issue has taken us is confusing at best. It is frustrating that we are always finding ourselves in the position of defending and justifying our actions when all we do is always for the betterment of the entire community. We truly would like some clarification of the council expectations. Do we ask for permission for everything we do until we actually receive the conditional use permit? Are we to be constantly scrutinized and called to the carpet for things such as this breakfast? Our goals are about the betterment of the community, and we want to work with the city to do these things. I did take the time to look at the minutes of that February 12th meeting, and I also listened to that portion of the meeting where we discussed the conditional use permit. And there was no ruling per se that said we could not do anything ever again out there until there was a conditional use permit actually achieved. Mention made that no other special event permits would be given until that happened, and hopefully we can do, there was hope even back then that all this would be taken care of by the time the wall came around and they applied for their special event. At this point, just to update you, we, on May 20th, the engineer electronically submitted the report, the wetlands delineation report, to the state. We received an email on May 27th that they had received it, along with a bill for $466 for their review, and it's in the process. They have up to 120 days by statute to review that. Hopefully it won't take that long, but their offices are basically closed and most people working from home. So I'm not sure, you know, how they're working their way through that process. And then it goes to the city process. Essentially, the conditional use permit as it sits is just an application sitting on a shelf waiting for all the conditions to be met so it could be processed. And with that in mind, we really are no different than any other private property owner that would like to have an event up to 100 people that doesn't require a permit. So that's where we stand. We really would like to not take your time on a regular basis to have to justify ourselves. We're not trying to circumvent rules and regulations. There's been some talk about that. Somehow the council feels that here we are again trying to sneak things in. And that's so far from the case as to be ludicrous. And I take offense at it personally. But we need to move beyond this. You guys need to tell us what your expectations are, and we will do our very best to adhere to them.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
So how do you feel about this situation, Don Greiner?
Well, I've got mixed feelings, actually. I mean, it seems like there's always something coming up about this. I think, if I remember right, and I didn't go back and research it, but if I remember right, we allowed a program last year based on you showing us that you were moving ahead to try to get this review as quickly as possible, isn't that correct?
Is that the cycle, Oregon?
Yeah.
Right.
Really, the council needs to say, hey, this is what we're going to require, and that's it, and come up with some rules and regulations so that there's no problems with them applying for the rules. First of all, I don't know how they can guarantee that there's only going to be 100 people there, because I've been to a breakfast, and man, I'm telling you, some of them are pretty, you can't find a place to sit out.
Well, that might be the case, if I can speak to that. We, one time out of the year, we have more than 100 people at breakfast, and that is the combined chambers breakfast in Sun River, and we have about 124 people. Basically, probably the average attendance to the breakfast there at the senior center is between 60 and 80. I didn't anticipate that that would be any different here. We could certainly limit to the 100 people very easily, but we do have walk-ins, but maybe 4 or 5 is all. And all that's documented, I can show you that. Yes, sometimes it seems like there's no place to sit, but it's really only about 70 some odd people.
And if the weather turns bad, there won't be that many.
Yeah, according to the weather report, we may only have 10 really hardy souls out there.
Down to it, then we come up with, we need to have the rules drawn because they want to have Frontier Days over in September too.
Well, you gave permission for the 4th of July event. It's out of our hands with regard to being able to hold that, and we have reapplied for an event permit for the Labor Day weekend event, which is somewhat different. It doesn't include a parade, which is a big deal in terms of getting approval through the Sheriff's Department. Some of those things, there will be no parade, obviously no fireworks, as the fireworks will be done on the 4th of July, but so it'll be a very different event. That is up in the air. That's special events and mass gatherings are going to be the final thing to ever reopen in the state, and they may not be open by Labor Day, but we're hoping.
How many businesses have we actually lost in town? Do you know?
I would say
several restaurants.
Yeah, probably in actuality 5 different businesses that are quite visual. There may be some small home kind of businesses that we're not aware of that have had to close. I know that some businesses have basically restructured. Your hair salons and massage therapists and some of those folks have restructured how they're doing their business. Some of those have gone back to working out of their home as opposed to a storefront. So yeah, the very small businesses have been the most severely impacted. The grocery stores and Ace Hardware are doing gangbusters, and the guy who bought stock in plexiglass, he's really making money. but it's the small people. It's the little D technologies and the fit zones and all of those people that have really suffered the most.
I don't want to see us do anything that discourages business in town. And I have a bad feeling about perhaps losing more people if we don't do something, as more businesses, I mean. And each one of those businesses means one or two jobs maybe that we lose. So the little ones, I mean.
Sure, you know the formula for money spent within a community is anywhere from 6 to 10 times that it is spent within the community. And anytime you lose a small business, it impacts across the board.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to hear what others think.
Connie Breeze, do you have an opinion on this?
Yeah, I think.
Not on this. Well, maybe Melissa has.
Not at this time.
Okay, large gatherings. And I think if that's the case, then I myself being a small business owner, business groups virtually, even from here, and it's important to be able to keep our, as well as being able to network and come up with ideas to further our businesses that they know what they need from a legal standpoint of what's required of them until this whole thing is the process is. So that's my
thank opinion. You so much, Connie. Mike Shields?
Yeah, when was this, your date for this?
June 19th.
Next
Friday.
So, because it seems like there's confusion.
And it doesn't leave them very much time to prepare one way or another, regardless of what we would say.
So is there, I would ask, is there some sort of legal precedent that says we can't do something? This event under 100 people does not, by your ordinance, does not require a permit or notification to the city or any of that sort of thing. So the event itself on, you know, as it stands is perfectly legal. So I'm not sure what ruling there would be. What would be your precedent for not having it, I guess?
Me personally, not sure everything's legal.
I don't know why it wouldn't.
Yeah, if I could clarify a little bit without getting too much into the weeds. It's two different issues. You have a land use issue that allows you to use the land for events, which you don't have yet. So in all honesty, you're not allowed to hold events out in that property because it's not zoned for it. And that's your land issue, why you have to have a CUP.
So
we have been allowing some events with some caveats to help you get through the CUP so you can get your conditional use, which allows you to hold events on that piece of property. I'm going to say this, and I can probably get in trouble from our attorney, but I would advise you not to get a legal opinion because he's going to tell you to shut them down for everything because they should not be holding anything out there until they have the conditional use that allows them to be zoned for holding events. It doesn't matter about the people or what the state says, it's the zoning. And so obviously we have not wanted to do that. So I'm trying to be very careful here and say we're trying to allow you to do things, and this is a total council thing, and I'm just clarifying.
That's so could I have clarification then as far as zoning? In your ordinance, your event ordinance, you say that events up to 100 people with the expectation of not to be over 100 people are fine to go ahead. There's nothing about zoning. Anybody in their backyard could have 100 people without having to get an event permit. It's not considered an event.
I don't argue semantics, but the idea is once you put it public as an event, it's the expectation 100 people could show up. But then the other side of that is, yeah, you could hold an event, a one-time event is an event, but to have it as an event venue where you're holding several events, that's where you get into semantics about what you're actually doing with that land. And land use calls it, you're holding it, you have an event.
Yeah, but it's not there yet. It's not an event.
It's
zoned residential. In fact, it's zoned commercial / residential, depending on where you're standing on the property.
I'm just saying it's a zoning issue. And so once you have more than several events, it becomes an event venue. One-time event is like if you're having a block party, you don't have a block party every week and call it an event. That's what I'm saying legally, what they would look at. I'm just clarifying that. I agree. I signed us up for the breakfast, so that's up to the council.
Colleen Scott, do you have
Since I'm first coming into this, obviously I wasn't here in February, but I was just going to ask you a couple of questions. Just so that I know, do we have any idea, and this is a broad question, when will we will be able to meet in the senior center again? Is there anything on the horizon where the governor is even?
Well, it's an interesting how they have it worded. If you are an event venue, which the senior center is, you can, and if you are rated for 250 people or more,
you can have up to 250 people if you can maintain the physical distancing, so you have to show them.
And that's the issue.
So that's if you are a venue.
Okay.
If you're just want to have a gathering, you can have 100 people outside and 50 inside. So what would be an example of, I don't know, a space that is, like this space, for instance, a space that's not rated for X number of people, and it was designed for churches to be able to have bigger services. Most churches are rated for, you know, 400 or 500 people, and they're being allowed to have up to 250 at this point in phase two.
So, is it possible to do what you're doing? It's not possible to do it at the senior center is really my question, even if we did it outside. It's just, I'm just,
well,
things out there.
They're not open, plain and simple. We could have it in any random parking lot, apparently, without any issue. But the fact is they're not open. We would just have to bring everything in, much like we're doing out at Frontier Days. Community Center is another venue. They're rated for, what is it, 850 people. They could have 250 people in there, but they're just not open. And they're discussing how they might be open and how they would be able to accommodate, but they're not there yet.
My last question is, so the conditional use permit, how long of a time period, and this may be more to Melissa, does this typically take from start to finish? Once you turn it in, is there like a typical time?
No. Everything we have heard from the state, they always state the 120 days. They say, we have up to 120 days. So presumably, they could take up to, you know, 119 and a half days and then call you. And then it goes to the city. And then it becomes, it's the last piece that is lacking in our conditional use application, is the wetlands delineation. The application is sitting on Melissa's desk somewhere with all the other parts and pieces that you require, with the exception of the delineation. Once that is received, then she can start the process, which can be up to a 120-day process, because you have to go out to adjacent property owners, you have to put up a sign asking for comment, and all of that sort of thing has to happen. So it could be up to 6 months.
How long do they?
No, it doesn't.
By law, you have 120 days, which is why everyone says that.
This zoning, changing of the zoning, eventually right now you're on, you said...
It's not a zone change.
We're not asking for a zone change, no.
But in order to get the event thing out through everything, we're going to have to change the zoning out there so it accommodates events,
No, they're getting a conditional use for their land. The conditional use allows them to use the property as an event center, just like the rodeo. It's the same process the rodeo went through. And so, it's a land use.
So it makes no difference what the zoning is. And they've got two different zonings out there, you just said. So it doesn't make any difference what the zoning is, but they can still be licensed or approved for an event issue, is that correct?
Correct, that's the application we have sitting waiting for the delineation. I think it's been in for a couple years.
Year.
Yeah. Year and a half, maybe.
What do they consider a maximum amount of uses for that property to be non-compliant? I mean, I guess one is non-compliant, is that correct? Or can they have, say, two a year, three a year, or zero a year?
Are you talking about now or once they have the conditional use?
Once they have the conditional use permit.
It could be limited because it's a hearing, but I would doubt it will be. It'll be an event venue area. I don't think it's going to be limited. It's called a conditional use for a reason. There may be conditions on it. They can place conditions dealing with noise, mitigation with traffic, things that mitigate nuisances upon other land, around them, surrounding, or, but.
So those conditions are applied by the state, aren't they?
No.
They're not?
No.
They're applied?
Well, some could be if a state agency gets back to, like, you know, if the fire, state fire marshal says this, but most of them are applied through, through the process through the city.
Have they applied for all of the other conditional or all the other venues go through, for instance, the fire department? Have they?
We don't have a complete application, so we cannot route it.
Have you heard anything back from the state about the fireworks on the 4th or the, you know, any of the stuff?
The permit through the state fire marshal has been, it's at the state fire marshal's office. The company that does this, Western Display Fireworks, they do fireworks all over the Northwest, and they take care of all that and also carry the insurance for the event. And I've been confused. You say a complete application has not been received?
Your conditional use, we're waiting.
Oh, the conditional use, yeah.
Yeah, the fireworks, I'm waiting on that state permit, I have the state permit.
Which she was, what they do is they were probably delayed in sending all this to the state fire marshal because they batched them to him, and they were waiting for confirmation from other communities that were kind of up in the air whether they were going to do their fireworks or not. So she assured me, it was when you and I talked, Melissa, almost 2 weeks ago now, that she would send ours in and not wait to batch it with the others. So I assume that it's where it is.
Right. I don't think that affects the decision that we're talking about right now with just the activity of having breakfast there. I guess at this point, we should just, does the council have any comments as to why they should not be allowed to have their breakfast there versus have their breakfast there?
My comment is I'd like to see them have their breakfast and also the...
Connie, we got two people talking at once. Sorry.
Connie, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead, Connie.
When I first asked my comment about whether we've talked about this, and well, she didn't answer, and then she said, or it's tough for us, so I'm not comfortable with voting on it.
Okay, thank you, Connie. Don Greiner, how do you feel about this?
Well, I tell you, I'd like to see it happen along with Frontier Day. However, I don't feel that the city can get involved in approving something that violates state law or violates the law, because each of us, when we took the office, we abide by all state and federal laws. That's part of our oath. So I think it has to be boiled down to what legally is our obligation and where we stand legally.
Hey, Mike Shields.
Well, I agree with Don, but I also think, being said, you might be stepping on your own feet. I'd really like to see the thing go ahead. Is there another place we could, some other site?
Well, part of the reasoning behind using that land is because we can have 100 people outdoors. You can only have 50 indoors, unless it's, the whole venue, the venues, the places that are rated as venues, like the senior center, the community center, aren't open. So now, yeah, you're going to a church, and then you're down to 50 people, unless they're...
Some of the churches have some large parking lots.
Would the city hall donate their parking lot that day?
I would have any qualms with that.
I guess part of what confuses me is, yes, it is our intention to be an event venue. But until the application process is even started, and it hasn't, because a very important piece is not yet done, it's just in limbo. We're not, once all that is in and the process starts, then yeah, it's pretty obvious that's what our intention is. We are an organization looking to have this permitted for this conditional use. But right now, we're not there yet. It's so, so I don't, you know, in my mind, it's just private property. It's just a piece of property, and we applied for permits for to hold a special event, which you were allowed to do on private property, and we did that, and you allowed it. Am I wrong? Is this wrong thinking, or what?
I just want to say, this is a council decision, and if you direct me to get an attorney opinion, I am telling you that it's not going to be favorable, because once you use a piece of property outside the zoning requirement, we're stepping legally in trouble for setting precedent. This is a hometown, and like I said, I signed up for the breakfast. I know that the property should not be used, but it's up to the council. It is totally up to the council. But if you say to me to get an attorney opinion, I will. I think that's going to, I'll just be honest, I think that's gonna shut down the property until the permit is approved, which means the wall. I mean, I'm speaking from the heart here, from a city manager going against our attorney, and we're not gonna put that on the record, hopefully, but I think the council needs to consider parameters. I mean, if you feel, just having an honest conversation here, if you feel that Anne is having a lot of events, or she's having too many, or she shouldn't be having any, or she needs to hold just these certain ones, I think that's up to you. I'm just saying that, as your city manager, I would be cautious about bringing legal into it at this point. That's my two cents.
Yeah, my opinion is I would just hate to take and sacrifice or endanger the wall, you know, being there for any reason. I think that having a chamber breakfast is a really minor thing compared to having the wall there, and that at some point or another, you know, if a legal decision were to violate that and you didn't get your conditional use permit in time of having the wall, then I think that would be a far greater travesty than having to have the chamber breakfast in City Hall's parking lot.
So you may be forced with that decision, allow that event can happen, given that, like, that by October, if, you know, so you're gonna have to make that decision.
Like, it could take a year. Every organization that you apply for takes 120 days.
We won't take 120 days. Yeah, no. It's, you have to say that because that's the state law. That's the time limit we have to process an application. We don't take that long.
I guess, Colleen, do you have an opinion?
Like everyone else, it's in particular what Connie said makes sense in terms of, obviously, we all want to adhere to what we swore to in our oath of office. And then my question really that I'm throwing out there is what you're recommending, and I know you have to say this very carefully, so in other words, don't hold events out there unless we have to. Is that what I'm hearing here? In other words, one last question before you answer that is, this extension that you did in February, what was that? What timeline was the extension for?
There is a timeline for the conditional use permit application, and that was going to be expiring, and where it was, and okay. We knew that we couldn't complete the well.
The people that were going to do it, there had to be a water content or something in the land.
Well, the state was requiring that there be a second
spring and fall.
Spring and fall determination.
Okay, I knew
that. Need to check the hydrology in spring and fall.
So my final comment is that if we are trying to adhere, we obviously understand what you're saying and feel your pain in terms of wanting to get the business community active again. We all want that, is what I'm sensing here. However, we also want to adhere to the law. So that's where I'm asking for clarification, is that should we then be holding as few events there as possible until this application goes through? That's just summarizing it.
I would think that larger events are more valuable to just don't think that the chamber breakfast is not valuable to the community, because it is. It's a very good networking thing. But I think there's larger venues that need to be considered than the chamber breakfast. And I think that Mark had the great idea having it here. You know, you're welcome to use this as far as what I'm hearing from the council. You know, I think that's a good alternative, and it doesn't sacrifice anybody's stand on the situation.
Just throwing it out there, what about the rodeo grounds? It's kind of right by there.
I don't know, they've shut down completely until who knows when, so.
That put us in the possibility of a lawsuit.
I don't want to speak to, I'm not an attorney, and I don't want to talk about this, to tell the truth. You're making me nervous, Don.
Let me put it this way. By allowing this, is there a possibility that the city could be involved in a lawsuit?
Allow this to happen at Frontier Days or here?
I wish you wouldn't have asked that.
I really think you guys are blowing this all out of proportion. 70 some odd people, business people, getting together to have coffee and muffins for the first time in 4 months. And we've evolved into this conversation about zoning isn't even really involved for an event. Any place else in town. That makes no sense. Any place else in town. You can have it in any random parking lot.
It's the frequency of events on that piece of property that's not zoned for events.
It's one time.
Well, but there's several others that she's been having. It's the amount of the events you've been holding out there throughout the year.
Which have been permitted and allowed.
Well, because...
I'm no less confused than I was when I sat down. I'm so sorry. Jeremy.
As the chamber stands, this breakfast really isn't worth putting Frontier Days in any kind of jeopardy or setting any precedent or anything like that. It's not what we need to do. But at the same time, I'm kind of with Ann in this. I cannot even fathom a legal issue. I understand the arguments. I've heard them, but. Going to make anybody uncomfortable, then fine, but I am kind of with him on that.
Personally, I'd like to see it go ahead. So that it's stretching everything as far as what we said, but I still think that the aid to the community is probably worth allowing it, but we should make it clear.
The chamber has always been a very good faith partner with the city. And that at some point or another, that's what the city would like to see maintained, is a good faith partnership. If the city doesn't feel comfortable for whatever reason in a situation, that's what I don't understand, why the chamber would want to continue in a situation that the city didn't feel comfortable in. Because I'm pretty sure that if the chamber didn't feel comfortable in something, then the city would take feel the same way about that. You know, why would we force you into an uncomfortable position? So that's kind of the way that I feel. And if obtaining a legal obtaining a legal opinion on this is gonna jeopardize other events in the city or in the future, I really don't want to see that happen either. Yeah, I think that's the main thing. I think that the chamber breakfast, you know, if there's other places that you could have it, you know, I think that would be what the city would support wanting to see you do, you know, not hold it in a place of contention.
Yeah, you can have it my place.
Change it around.
Yeah, you would have to become a chamber member first.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. I just, it just confuses me. I've been having it any place else in town but there. I don't know.
Well, I think that's been explained plenty of times.
Yeah.
You know, it's really heavy on me because you and Gerald in particular put in countless hours.
With the park and rec, and maybe hold it out in that field out there?
Yeah, they said that they were not open at all. They didn't want anything out there. But they're not staffing.
Playing up here, why can't you have it up this view? It's also parks and rec, isn't it?
That's also a park and rec facility. There's no staffing. They won't.
I was gonna say, they have porta potties out there.
Yeah, we're gonna have porta potties out here, but they just left. There's no staffing. They didn't want anything held where there's no staffing.
You wanna get into that head, ask the Little League people what they had to go through just to go ahead and have Little League this year. Your ship with Parks and Rec, it's ugly. We don't really want to go that direction because it's gonna get uglier. They are not in, that's your Parks and Rec.
They're going through their own challenge, their events and.
If we can just, COVID and the governor's orders have really put a hindrance on the Parks and Rec. I mean, they have their own set of rules that they're having to go by. And Little League and sports are coming down by governor's orders, how they have to be handled. So I wouldn't blame it totally on Parks and Rec. They have a mandate that's pretty substantial.
It's thicker than it looks, I understand that.
The one statement that I heard, I think I disagree with it. You said it's your park and rec. It's not the city's park.
No, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
As a community, it's our park.
Okay, yeah,
put it that way.
Right, exactly.
You individually.
That's what he meant.
Okay.
I guess it's a decision for the chamber board then at this moment, because apparently the city doesn't feel comfortable with rendering a it's okay.
All right.
Okay. Very much.
This became such a huge issue in that.
Okay, so that's all of our other matters, I believe. So are there any public comments? Anybody that has a public comment, you have 3 minutes.
I'll take about a half a minute. Mark Sperling, non-resident, chamber member and business in town. Just for fun, I just found 2-foot by 4-foot sneeze shields completely built out of plexiglass delivered to here, $120 a piece on Amazon. And on the counter pre-built.
Correct. Thank you so much, Mark. Okay, staff comments?
Got me all flustered. One question, does the council have any objection to Scott Morgan being reappointed to the Deschutes County Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee? He's been a member since 2018, and memberships their appointments are for 3 years. BPAC asked me, and they said if council didn't have any objections, he would like to stay on the committee. And he is actually really wonderful. He's very involved. He's a bike person himself, rides all over, pretty knowledgeable. If you would like to go out for try to find somebody else, I can put that on the agenda or put it out there. But if you don't have any reservations about that, I'd just as soon go ahead and tell him to reappoint Scott Morgan.
Connie, please, do you have an opinion on this?
So I would agree to continue with him.
Thank you so much. Don Greiner?
I agree.
Mike Shields?
I agree.
Colleen Scott?
I agree. Thank you.
All right.
I have more.
Next.
Sitting on, and Connie, we're going to have to email you if we haven't emailed you yet. LOC every year does a priority list for things their lobbyists should work on. You have on front of you on the dais the sheet with all the priorities that they have come up with. How we've handled it in the past is you take them and then get them back to us, or bring them back for a meeting, and we do a workshop and consolidate and try to come down with one set of goals or priorities that they have on that list to send in. Each city is only allowed to send one form in, so you all have to agree on what those are. So you have that. My expectation would be that if you can get them back by June 17th, we can put them on a workshop for the meeting of the 24th and go over that to get that sent in, because I think they're in by, well, now I don't have my notes, but they have to be in, I think, by August.
Okay.
Kelly has found a job in Eugene. She's excited. She actually found a place today. So she has turned in her notice. We have already put the ad out.
She's turned in 2-week notice, or how long was her notice?
She's turned in a notice to be determined. She's trying to stick around as long as possible, but I think June 19th is about the witching hour. We have put out the ad. We have already gotten, I think we have like 45 applications.
54.
54 applications.
There you go.
Yeah, so we're going through those, and we intend to try to hire as soon as possible so she gets a couple days of training in. She's cross-trained with Robin, so Robin has a good understanding of the job also and can help and that. And then also, that is all I have.
Jake?
I just want to thank you guys for approving the budget this year. We spent a lot of time on that, and I just wanted to give you a thank you for that and for passing the salary schedule. I think that's a big step. I've been here for 4 years, and that's been something that's been talked about the whole time, and I'm glad to see that through. Other than that, I don't have any comments.
Right. Thank you. Robin?
None.
All right. So we'll move right into council comments. Connie Breeze, do you have any comments? Hey, thank you. Colleen Scott?
I was just really excited when I, driving here to this meeting, when I passed the park by Newberry, by the Newberry Hotel, and it looked like somebody had mowed the park and weeded it. And so I just wanted to say thank you. It really makes our town look fantastic to drive 97 and see that park looking so nice. And also, the flags look fantastic, and the WikiUp, I know that y'all have done a little bit of work there. I just think anytime we make those key areas look good, it means a lot to everybody. So thank you.
I'll let the guys know.
Thanks.
We DeBone earlier today and the Deschutes County Committee in Lapine, probably on,
just
an impromptu little get together to talk and catch up on.
We don't, but we do. So there's one scheduled always every 6 months, but if we haven't had one lately, and so if they have things to talk about, we will surely find out soon. So we will, we may have to adjust our meeting schedule on the 24th a little bit.
Is this a question for Tom or something?
Yeah, Tom and I will discuss it. Right. I hope he'll get to me soon about that.
All right. Don Greiner?
I
just am very grateful for the passing of the budget. I just hope that everybody can work cooperatively through this challenging time of COVID and through the economic stress that's put on our city. And that's about it. I just wish everybody the best. That's it for this meeting. Thank you so much, everybody.